But we're joined now, I believe, by a Unifor member, chairman of the Political Action Committee, Tony Leah. Are you there, Tony?
Hi, Phil. I am.
Hey, Tony, thank you very much for joining us. It's an important matter. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things and important things that have happened with Unifor, with the GM closing announced for December of this year. But there's been a rather confusing element, and I think most readers of the Globe, Star, Sun, National Post, watchers of CBC, have the impression that a deal has just been struck in which there were 2,600 jobs going to be lost, and 300 of them were rescued or salvaged out of this most recent understanding between General Motors and Unifor. But if I think you have told us, and I have read it elsewhere, but we don't understand this. There are how many? There are 5,000 members of Unifor at GM, or connected to this GM agreement, or, well, I'll rephrase it. There are 5,000 jobs to be lost, not 2,600?
Exactly. And 5,000. The other 2,500 have been almost ignored and lost in the shuffle. And it's
are they Unifor members?
Most of them are Unifor members, yes. And they are as involved in the assembly of vehicles as the people who are actually working on the assembly line. But they have been forced over the years to work for third-party companies or supplier companies. A lot of them are right inside the plant. And I guess, you know, that would probably be surprising to people to know that.
I think people could you give an estimate of how many that would be? Of what percentage?
That are inside the plant?
Yeah.
Probably more than 1,000. And then there's another 1,000 or so that work for supplier companies that are nearby. But this has been part of a long strategic move by General Motors to drive down wages and benefits and to avoid responsibility. So bit by bit, they have outsourced this work to other companies, so that the people who do the work that used to be GM employees now have to be employees of these other companies. It's a mechanism to drive down the wages. A lot of these workers are making not much more than minimum wage, $15, $17 an hour. They don't have the same benefit package. They don't have pensions. So that makes it cheaper for GM.
If you don't mind, I'd like to interrupt you right there because, okay, they make less. They're in a different circumstance. They are Unifor members.
Almost all of them.
And are they members of your local?
Most of them are members of Local 222 as well. So they're a member of the same union, the same local, but they have different collective agreements, each with their own company that employs them. So this has been GM's strategic approach to make their labor costs far less and to have no responsibility, because when you come to a situation like this where GM is going to end vehicle assembly in Oshawa and 5,000 jobs will be lost as a result, they get to say we're only laying off 2,600 people, and they ignore the other half of the workforce that is involved in that vehicle assembly. They ignore the other half of the people who are losing their jobs. They ignore the impact to the community of all those jobs disappearing. And to a certain extent, I think that the national leadership of Unifor hasn't done enough to make sure people understand that that's the true picture.
Well, and that 2,500, if we could just make it a round figure, are destined to be end their employment in December.
Correct. Yep, by the end of December.
And they are not part of this production we saw where the announcement was made, well, there's going to be a stamping plant probably in 6 months to a year after the closing, which may employ 300 people, which some people thought was a reason to celebrate, since there's only 4,000 bodies on the field. But these 2,500 are not in, they don't have any involvement in that.
That's right. Because the jobs that are projected to remain in Oshawa, in the stamping plant, and currently is a stamping plant that I think under 100 people work in. So they're talking about increasing the number of people that work in that stamping plant eventually. But that is a deal with General Motors, so it only applies to people who are GM employees. So all of the workers that work for the supplier companies get that. None of their jobs will be saved.
Again, it's not part of the discourse. It's really, to me, it's like the lost legion. It's like there's been a battle, and they say, well, the legion has returned, except that there were two legions, and one of them is missing.
Right. Yes, and as workers, we should care about those workers as much as workers that have.
Yeah, how about the mayor of Oshawa, the NDP representatives, any political person who is trying to interest the government in its duties towards the workers of Canada, Ontario, has to make sure they're talking about all 5,000, because if we're only talking about 2,600, that's almost a partisan idea of support. You're only supporting those who have now the direct General Motors tie and not to those people working to make the same product, but under separate contracts.
Right. This is, I think, a glaring weakness in the strategy that the national leadership of Unifor has followed. They haven't brought the issue to the forefront. There was a battle going on. They did ask the workers in those supplier companies, as well as the GM workers, to keep the plant open, and a lot of them did participate in the different activities. But then when a deal was signed, it was just for the GM workers, and now all of those other workers with their own collective agreements will have to scramble to try to make some negotiate with their employers within their own collective agreements, but their ability to do that is far less because the union leadership has cut the separate deal with GM.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we're almost in a problem of political psychological issues, because so many people, starting with the prime minister and of course with the president of your union, but are anxious. And I left out the most important man, General Motors. And representative, they want this all. They say, okay, we did the best we could, and we've wrapped this up, and it looks like we got a little toehold here. So they really don't want, one assumes they're not going to want to hear about the 2,500 who are not in this deal.
Right. But almost all of whom are members of the same union.
Members of the same union.
And I'm sure that, are
I'm
feeling
at the
quite bitter.
your estimate is that they're a little bitter.
Yes, I would say. Yeah. Of course, they're a lot bitter.
They knew who they were in a sense. We've all kind of forgotten about them. You just told us that they are uniform members. They actually are part of the whole production operation that produces the trucks, that produces the cars. But they were paid less and have, what is it they don't have that you have?
Their benefit packages are much inferior. Almost none of them have any kind of pension plan. But the wages is probably the biggest shortfall. Of course, Unifor has agreed in the last number of years to a much lower and inferior collective agreement for new hires, what are often called the tier two workers.
Is it? Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And isn't it true that in Quebec they have a law you can't even do that?
The law in Quebec
would not allow a union to do that.
Prohibits making that kind of discriminatory treatment in terms of wages, and as of last year, even in pensions. And that's the kind of legislation, really, that we should be talking more about what they've achieved. That's because of the strength of the labor movement in Quebec. But it should also be a model and incentive, an inspiration to workers in the rest of the country to fight for that kind of legislation so we don't have this sort of situation. But the workers for the supplier companies make lower wages even than the second-tier workers in the GM contract. And they know that. And those jobs used to be jobs that were done by people who were employed by General Motors at the same wages as assembly workers.
Yeah. And, again, I think I saw it in Solonet. I've seen it elsewhere, too. This reference to 2,600, if you say we had 300 saved out of 26, I mean, that's awful. But if you put 300 alongside 5,000, it's really awful.
It is. And it may be somewhat of a mirage. That's the other side of this deal that we should probably mention. How guaranteed are those 300 jobs? I asked at our union meeting where we were being informed about this grievance, they're calling it a grievance settlement. I asked, what is the guarantee that those jobs will be there when our contract expires, which is September of 2020? And the answer basically was, well, you know, GM is committed to having those 300 jobs there. The commitment is that they'll have them before the end of the calendar year 2020. So they believe that it will be 6 months into the year, halfway through the year, but it could be later, it could be by the end of the year. Yeah. But the contract expires, which means that any legal commitments that GM has then would have to be renegotiated. And they're going to be renegotiated with a union which has already demonstrated its weakness and will only have, at that point, might only have 100 people working in Oshawa, trying to renegotiate with this multinational corporation.
With two lost legions. Yep. Everybody else will have been turned into a ghost in December.
Yep, and some people will retire. And to be fair, the negotiation of incentives for people who are in a position to retire with a full pension gives them something. But that doesn't do anything for jobs in the community, and that's really what this has all been about. Not, you know, is there a way of buying out the workers who are there now so that GM can walk away, but what's left for the community, what's left for the country, what becomes of that manufacturing hub which has been one of the most advanced in the country if it's reduced to a few hundred jobs in the stamping plant? That's the 95%, the other 95% of that complex with all of the equipment and technology and robotics that's in it, that's what should be saved. That's what is in the interest of the country to save and make sure that it's used not necessarily to keep building the same kind of vehicles we are now, but to transition to electric vehicles or green energy products, which is what this country has to do if we're going to deal with the climate challenge.
Exactly. And there's plenty of evidence. I read in the New York Times that whether they're lying or telling the truth, the companies are saying they're going to, in Ohio, they intend to establish a plant that will produce electric vehicles.
Electric trucks.
Electric trucks. And you had a meeting in Oshawa about public ownership, in which postal worker leaders said we need a fleet of electrical vehicles, and that'll be built in Oshawa.
Right. And it's a very popular idea. When you talk to people in the community of Oshawa, and we actually went door-to-door with a petition, and you say that this is what we would like to happen, people say, that's exactly what should happen. That's what we want to happen.
Well, it's a very important matter. By the way, if we don't do anything else, and Tony Leo, we really appreciate you being with us. It seems to me that we ought to be sending correction notes to all the major media outlets and say, do not talk about this matter unless you get the numbers right. There are 5,000 people losing their jobs as of December this year at General Motors. Say, and don't tell us by union, or pardon me, by bargaining units of the same local, 222.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get the number right. Unifor has 5,000 members. It seems to me it just has so much political significance that somehow or another this is being glossed over or lost, and particularly when there's supposedly these little quiet celebrations going on about we saved 300 jobs at a stamping plant. Stamp on that. Anyway, Tony Leo, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
Bye-bye.